You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 185. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
I just found out that Kings of Leon are coming out with a new album, and it's being released on NFT, which I was like, I've never heard of that format before. So I had to do some research. That's not what I'm bringing it up. I'm just bringing it up because there's a very clear Kings of Leon memory in my mind when I remember book shopping and a song came on and I freaking loved it. And I was like, that's got to be Kings of Leon, doesn't it? And I run home and I try to find this song and I finally found it. It's called Ragu by Kings of Leon. This is years ago that happened. And I listen to that song once a week. It is an absolute banger. Love that song.
Okay. I got to get back into Kings of Leon. Like, they're not a... Like, I listen to them every once in a while, but I need to re-get into, I think.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of their stuff, but, like, that one album, because of the times, oh, ooh, and the Aha, Shake of... I forget it before, but the one before that, also amazing.
Perfect. Okay. Nice.
What's going on with you, man?
Not a whole lot, dude. It's not... super busy at work right now. Well, I'm working on a project, which is a little bit different, but it's a little bit quiet time in between semesters right now, so I'm kind of chilling out. But I am excited to talk about some New York Islanders hockey today. But before we get into that, we have to do a little conversating over here, Mitch. We have some things to talk about, some businesses to take care of. So we want to let you know that support for Eyes on Isles is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free shipping with code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. So that's FANSIDED20. You can pick yourself up the Lawnmower 3.0. Mitch very much is a fan of the light. At the end, I can confirm that is excellent. Also, the deodorant is also very key for those who maybe sweat a little bit. Like, you could be honest. You could, you know, hand up. A little sweat happens, so it's a lot
of southern sweating going on in this area.
It happens.
For sure.
Is it awkward to talk about sometimes? Sure. But everyone's dealing with it, and now there's a product that could help you. And, like, let's be honest. Your significant other, they're going to be happy with this. This is good for everyone.
Much appreciated. Look, we're such fans of Manscaped here. We bought two of them. We have two, one for each of us, myself and my wife.
Yes. No, it's legit. And I know I pulled it up last week and I'll pull it up again. I have the cologne that they sent me also. Mm. Tremendous. I love it. It's not like that Axe body spray, you know, locker room smell. It's like a nice refined gentleman kind of smell. So if you're into it, FANSIDED20 over at manscaped.com.
Do it.
All right, so let's get into the podcast episode, Mitch. We got a lot to get to. We are going to start with this might be a little bit premature, but I'm going to say it. The greatest Islander of all time, Oliver Wahlstrom.
Move over, Mike Bossy. There's another goal scorer in town. Oh, yeah, Oliver Wahlstrom, man. What a trip it has been this year for this young man. 20 years old, and he's killing it.
Yes. No, he's been, in all seriousness, he's been unbelievable, though, through his last five games. 6 points, 3 goals, 3 assists. And we talked about it just a couple of weeks ago, a couple of podcast episodes ago. We were like, you know, he's getting his opportunities. The goals are going to start to come. And, well, they have.
Yeah, and it's not just goals, right? Like you said, 3 helpers and 3 goals. So, like, the plays, he's starting to fit. He keeps talking about it, right? Like, I'm in love with the other parts of my game. The working hard, the getting in the right area, the head up, just implicated all the time, the physical stuff. Because if you do those things specifically in a Barry Trotz system, the production will come. And he's the poster child for it. Like, anyone who may have doubted Barry Trotz's philosophy when it comes to rookies, just look at Oliver Wahlstrom right now. Yes, yeah. It sucks where he's like, you're not ready yet. And you're like, but I feel like I am. No, I can tell you you're not. And then, you know, the Joshua Sangs of the world, right, can look at this and go like, ha, I see. I see what I need to do now.
You would think so. And what I wanted to know, because I was curious with early on, obviously he was shooting a ton and they weren't going in. So now they started too. And I was like, I'm curious, what's his shooting percentage up to right now? And it's at 12.5, which I think that's going to even start to go up even more so, but 12.5 isn't terrible for, you know, considering that seemingly he wasn't getting anything in for like a 10-game stretch.
No, you're right. Right, it went from 4 to 12. That's a big jump. But that's kind of where we expect him to be at, is at a 12%. Like, even Jordan Eberle shoots at 13%, I think, like average 12 over his entire career. And Jordan Eberle is not Oliver Wahlstrom. Oliver Wahlstrom is a better shooter. So you're right. Like, that could go up to probably float around 16%. And that's huge. 16% on what is he shooting now? He has 32 shots on net. Let's say 32 in 15 games.
In 15,
so,
yeah.
2.13, do that over a full year. That's 175 shots. That's low. Like, that's Matthew Barzal levels of shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you multiply that by, let's say we said 16%.
Yeah.
That's a 28-goal player.
And we would assume that number is probably going to be closer to 200, right?
Yes, because we have to remember, he's getting, averaging 10 minutes and 51 seconds worth of ice time.
Yeah, the kid's not playing very much.
He really isn't. Like, so you give him more ice time, that means more opportunities to shoot. And I think he's playing a lot more in the defensive zone. Barely. 49% in the D zone to 51. Which, you know, when he first started, his first 9 games was 58-42. You would expect someone like Oliver Wahlstrom to be more in the O zone than the D zone.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's going to continue to grow as well.
And that's just it. There's a lot of good things happening here, and it's finally starting to pay off. But my God, this kid is absolutely, and he's not just scoring like on the power play, right? Like we've obviously he shoots on the power play and he's got that wicked shot and he's scoring, mm-hmm. but he's still adding 5-on-5 production. Like he's got 3 of his 4 goals are at even strength.
Right. That's huge.
And most of his assists are on the power play.
Right? All the assists are on the power play.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Like that's insane. So, like, the kid is not really, what's the word I want to use here? He's not getting help or shooting necessarily. Let me rephrase that because I'm scrambling in my own mind. He's not necessarily throwing in buckets worth of goals in on the power play.
No.
But
yeah.
The fact that he's getting pucks on net and towards the net is clearly working in the Islanders' favor.
Yeah, that to me is a big difference for why this team is starting to look the way that it is right now.
So consider this, on the power play, he has 5 power play points. And averaging 51 seconds of power play time per game, where you got a guy like Kirill Kaprizov, who's the top rookie, has 1 power play point and is averaging 3.5 minutes of power play time per game.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Which is good for Kaprizov, because that means most of his production is coming at 5-on-5, but like, it really just goes to show you that while, yes, Oliver Wahlstrom is still scoring 5-on-5, he's still putting up points on the power play at a rate that isn't matched by anyone in his class right now.
No, right. It's the production in the sample size, which is extremely impressive. Like, usually you don't see someone who's playing under 11 minutes a night be this effective for this team.
5-game point streak, 6 points across the 5. That doesn't happen for someone who's putting 9 minutes of ice time in.
No, and we're used to the Matt Martins and Leo Komarov and Michael Dal Coles and Zarnek and guys like that who get the 9-10 minutes a night. And yeah, some of them are, you know, okay players, but they're not moving the needle forward the way that Oliver Wahlstrom is.
Exactly, right? So like he's being hashtag effective with the ice time that he's being given. And you're right, bringing up guys like Dal Cole and Matt Martin, who will put up a point every now and again. Dal Cole had a 2-goal or 2-assist night the other day, and we're all ranting and raving, and justifiably so. But Wahlstrom's just like, I keep scoring, guys. I keep scoring. I'm not going to stop until you give me more damn ice time.
Which I think that's the next conversation, is what do the Islanders do now? Do they keep rolling him out here and play him on that third line and play him 10 or 11 minutes, or do you move him up and get that ice time up as well?
What would you do? Because I think I'd just keep him there a little while longer.
A part of me wants... I see both sides, which I usually don't like to do that, but I really see both sides on here. A part of me is really itching for to get him up on that second line and move Josh Bailey down, because I'm a little annoyed at Josh Bailey's play.
Yeah, I think we don't change it until it's broken, right? Like,
okay,
it's working. The team's winning. They're on a point streak still. Pardon me. So, like, there's no reason to change it. And he's being effective in the position he's in. and he's finally gaining that confidence and you can see it's working, let's not jump the gun too quickly, I would say. Although you're right, like if anyone's going to say, what, you don't want to see him play with Brock or Barzal? The answer to that question is no, I would very much like to see that. But like, I don't know if he's ready for that jump yet.
No, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he is.
Why stop it? Just give him a couple more minutes of ice time with Jean-Gabriel Pajot. Like, Pajot's getting, what, 16 minutes of ice time on average? Something
yeah,
like that?
He is getting a lot more ice time. At times, he was playing, like, the second-line center, you know, minutes. He was on the third line, you know, quote-unquote. But he was getting, you know, big minutes. So
over his last five games, 18, 19, 46, that is, so almost 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. 15, 19, 58, so again, almost 20 minutes. And then 15, 25. You can't tell me that you can't find a way to give Wallstrom another like 2 to 3 minutes on average. Come on.
Yeah, no. I don't think anyone's asking for Oliver Wallstrom to be playing 17 minutes a night right now yet, but would it be too much to ask to get that number to like 14?
Right? Like, why not? What do you have to lose? Josh Bailey has less ice time. He's not really doing a ton with what he's got. And Josh Bailey's used to that. It's fine. He's a really good utility player, a really good middle six player. He'll figure it out. He really will.
Yeah, exactly. And he could, like, I would feel comfortable, even if you had to, like, moving him down and playing him with Pajot. I think both those guys, Pajot and Bailey, could have success playing together.
Exactly. I know that Barry Trotz said that he wants to give Bailey a little bit more consistency. So I think he's just sticking to his word right now, which is nice to see. But I think a little bit more of that, and we see Bailey go down. But down is really, I think we're being too harsh in terms of our words here. Like, going from Brock Nelson as your center to Jean-Gabriel Pajot as your center really isn't a demotion by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's not.
And it's not like Bailey isn't scoring. He's got 3 points over his last five, right? So, like, 3 over 5, let me just do this quick there, is 0.6 times 82. That's a 50-point player.
Okay.
That's Josh Bailey.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but with Wallstrom, so with this 5-point or 5-game point streak, 6 points over the five, a lot of fans are talking about the Calder. Do you think that he can hit that? You famously said, like, last week, was it, or 2 weeks ago, you'd hit the under on 15 points, I think, in a mailbag.
Would it throw me under the bus? Yeah, I did. I did.
To be fair, I was like, well, I don't know. I might go over the over, and I was just barely hitting the over, right? So, like, I wasn't much better.
I think I'd be surprised if he's getting, like, for Calder consideration, are we talking, like, top three?
Well, that's the thing, right? He's not even a factor right now. As of today, the odds, he's not even in the top 20.
Okay.
There are no odds for him. I couldn't find odds for him at all.
So, who's the favorite? Is it still Lafreniere, the favorite?
Not even. It goes, the top five are Kaprizov, Lankinen in Chicago, and then it goes Ty Smith in New Jersey.
Okay.
Followed by Stützle and Höglander. Höglander plays in Vancouver, Stützle obviously in Ottawa.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would be surprised if Wallstrom ends up in the top three.
As would I. I think, obviously, if it keeps going this way and he doesn't stop scoring, he will. And we just mentioned how much more effective he is on the power play than Kaprizov is. But when it comes to 5-on-5, like, Kaprizov has 17 points over 19 games. Wallstrom's only got the 8, man.
Yeah.
And then you got Lankinen, who's got like a 9, I think it's a 924 save percentage and 9 wins over 15 games played.
That's pretty damn good.
Right, so it's going to be tough for him to win, but if he keeps going and he ends up with, let's say, I don't know, 30 points over 56 or 50 some odd games, whatever it is for him, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in the top five.
Yeah, that'd be a nice addition and something unexpected. Like, yes, we both had high hopes for Oliver Wallstrom, you know, as a player, but I don't think either of us thought he would be this productive at this point.
No, case in point, what we just talked about with the over under 12, right? Like, or over under 15. We both were kind of like, I don't know. You said the under, but like I think it could have been swayed to hit the over. I did, but I was like, I'm just thinking he might hit 16 type of thing, right?
Yeah, and that was the thing too, because I think that was after like the game where he got that second goal. And I was like, okay, this is good. But like, I just, with the amount of ice time he's playing, like, I don't know if he'll be able to do this consistently, but he's blown it up. And I hope he continues to go at that pace. That'd be tremendous.
You mentioned ice time, and I just want to, I'm curious, mm-hmm. with Kaprizov, oh my God, he got 23 minutes of ice time the other day.
Wow.
So he's averaging 18 minutes and 23 seconds, all situations, of course, mm-hmm. of ice time for the Minnesota Wild. Like, they're trusting this kid to do a lot and putting him in big situations. In terms of deployment, 58% in the D zone, 41% in the, 58% in the O zone, 41% in the D zone. Like, he's all out offense is what they're giving him, whereas that's not what Wahlstrom is getting. And he's 8 for 15, right? So 8 divided by 15 times 82, that's a 44-point player right there.
Wow, that's pretty damn solid.
Right, if he keeps up that pace. And that's not just like focusing in on the 5-game point streak. That's all, the 15 games. We're adding the 10 games where he didn't really score much. So that's huge, man.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's pretty impressive to see that so far already, you know?
Exactly. So good things going for Oliver Wahlstrom. And it really kind of changes the dynamic for the Islanders in terms of, like, even the trade deadline. I know we're not going to talk about that today, but, like, thinking about that, do they go all in on a Patrick Laine? They might not need to.
No, and we'll see what happens over the next few weeks, of course. But this changes everything. It really does.
It really does. So good job for us. And like, look, the 2018 draft, our top two guys are playing and playing well and carrying not a heavy burden, but a decent burden on this team. And that's what we wanted to see only like 2 years out, three, I guess.
Yeah, three at this point, but solid. Absolutely. Anything else on Oliver Wahlstrom before we move on?
No, that's it. I don't want to jinx it, but like, let's go.
So let's get to something else that's been really good for the Islanders, and that's the power play. Started off not so great, but they are at nearly 25%, Mitch, 24.6%, sitting at 12th in front of which team, do you know?
The Colorado Avalanche, I'm taking a guess.
Yes, Colorado's at 13.
Yes. Take that, Colorado, and Devontae specifically, you bum.
It's just a nice little F you, that's all.
Yeah, no, he's great. Devontae's is great. The reason the Islanders are performing well, I don't think has to do with the loss of Devontae's. If it was, that would be wild. But I tried to do a comparison between 2019 and 2020 to see like what changed really, just like looking at numbers, because we know they worked on it, but like what's the difference? What are we seeing more of? And I can't really tell. Like, their shooting percentage is way up, which would be obvious. So let's break down what they're doing now. They're 20th in expected goals for with 11.66 on the power play, that is. They have 15 goals for. So they're converting more goals than expected, which isn't what they were doing last year, where they were 30th in expected goals for with 30.47 and scored 29. So, like, they were about as expected last year.
Right.
They're getting shots off. They have 90 shots so far in 61 opportunities, which means that they're getting 1.47 shots per opportunity. But last year, they were getting 1.517. So like they're getting more shots off per opportunity last year than they were this year. So it's not shots. But then when you consider their high danger chances, they had 115 high danger chances last year on the power play. Converted 15 of them.
Wow.
For a 13% conversion rate. They have 36 high danger chances right now on the power play. And this is not just 5-on-4. This is all power plays. Mm-hmm. And have converted 12 at it for a 33% conversion rate.
That's insane. That's a huge difference.
That's a huge difference, man. So to me, that's the difference there. It's just like they're getting into those high danger areas, maybe not more frequently. Although like I can do some quick math here if you want to vamp, but like it seems that they're at least converting more of their high danger opportunities, which is, you know, right into the veins of Barry Trotz.
Yeah, which that's what you want, right? You want to give yourself as many of those opportunities as possible and just convert on those and you should be okay.
Exactly. And that's what he preaches, at least on 5-on-5. So you would assume that that stands when it comes to on the power play. But who knows, right? So I'm just doing it now, 255. Yeah, they're getting more high-danger opportunities. They're getting 0.59 high-danger opportunities or high-danger chances for per opportunity as opposed to the 0.45 high-danger chances for per opportunity from last year, which doesn't seem like a lot, 0.6, no. Right? Well, that's not 0.6. That's like 14, but that's 14 percentage points, so that's okay. Considerable.
Yeah, that's good.
Right, do that over a full 56, and well, that's a lot of high danger opportunities that they're generating, and now that they're converting at 33%, look out.
Yeah, that's huge. That's great.
And just goals as well. Like Nelson already has 5 power play goals. The team leader last year was a tie between Eberle, Barzal, and Nelson at 4.
That's insane. Come on.
Does the top 3 power play goal scorers. Right now it's Nelson, Lee, Peugeot at 5, 3, and 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a 180. It's a completely different, it looks like a different unit. Even though it's similar guys, it's not the exact same units they were running back last year. It's similar though, no? Wouldn't you say?
It's very similar. Like, what's the one big difference? Barzal for Oliver Wallstrom? That's a huge upgrade, actually.
That or Letty getting more involved?
Well, that's the thing. I was trying to look at Letty and Taze and doing the difference there. So Taze last year had 29 individual Fenwick 4, which is unblocked shots.
Okay.
Or shots that are either hit the net or aren't blocked and miss in 154 minutes. Letty has 10 in 49 minutes, which is about the same thing.
Yeah, just about, right?
Right, like he's got a third of the opportunity, the Fenwick, in about a third of the minutes.
Huh. Okay.
So, like, it doesn't seem that it's, and when you look at individual high danger chances for, neither of them have one, either Taze last year or Letty this year. So it doesn't right. seem like just swapping Letty for Taze worked, mm-hmm. like that was the magical ingredient. But I don't think any of us are going to care because, man, it's clicking.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's totally, that's fantastic. And it's, we were begging, think about it, Mitch. We were begging, we were like, please, 20%. That's all I'm asking. We would sign up for 20%. Well, they said, we see your 20% and we raise you an additional 5. And like, they are pretty close to a top 10 power play right now, which is scary.
Well, they were just the other day when they were at 25%. They just haven't played in a day and they didn't score a power play goal against the Devils.
Correct.
Which they probably should have, but they had one power play opportunity. Right. So like they didn't really get a whole lot of chances to get one on. And even at 25%, you're looking at 1 in every 4. So that you only get one opportunity. It's probably not going to convert.
No.
But like they're getting opportunities as well, right? Remember last year, that was their big thing. They just weren't getting any opportunities and they are this year.
No, totally. And I know we've talked about this at length, whether it's on this podcast or any other of our podcast platforms like on Patreon. But we said pretty much for anyone who would listen that Anders Lee wasn't going to shoot at 7% again on the power play. And that is very much different this year.
He's at 37% shooting percentage on the power play.
Yeah, that's a 30% increase. I don't expect that to stay for the entire year, but it's just I think there were some definite outliers in a variety of different things for this team last year. And people kind of took that and ran with it, I think.
Yeah, but that happens way too frequently when it comes to the Islanders. Like, the Islanders are a terrible power play team. I told you, look at their shooting percentage. Ha, PDO hack. And you're going, well, okay, let's chill a second. If you're going to start quoting PDO hacks to us, there's no way that Anders Lee, who's like a career 16% shooting percentage on the power play, is going to stick at 7. It's just not going to happen. Not at 30, right? Maybe if he was 35, you'd go like, okay, maybe the decline is here. It's too early for that. It just is.
No, yeah. If this is 4 years from now when we're having this conversation, different story. But, I mean, there was no, like you said, Lee was 29 last year. I didn't think he was done. And I think he's proving that right now.
Yeah, this isn't like NFL running back lifespan, right? Just because he's a power forward doesn't mean he's going to last 20 seconds in the NHL here. He's got a lot more runway than that.
Good analogy. I love you bringing in the football talk and the don't pay running back conversation too, which I like.
Although they're not very much doing that with Anders Lee.
No. Of course. But the power play is looking really good. And this, again, similar to Oliver Wahlstrom, could be a huge difference for this team. Like, if you look at last year's Islanders versus this year's Islanders, having an additional scorer like an Oliver Wahlstrom and having like a competent power play, big things.
Yeah, even if this drops to like 20% effective over the season, we'll take that. We were 13.5% effective just 2 years ago. 17.3 right. Last year.
No, totally. It would be a big difference just to, like you said, hover around a little bit above or at 20% would be great.
Like, how many more points do we get on the board if the Islanders are at a 20% effective power play last year? Obviously, you're not going to be able to do the math in your head. I don't know either. But, like, how many games did we have, like, a 0-for-6 or a 0-for-5 or even a 0-for-4, right? Like, way too many.
Yeah, exactly. Way too many. And that's the thing. And those games add up and those points add up. And that's, you know, that's a big difference.
And then, you add an Oliver Wahlstrom to the mix, which we didn't have last year. We just didn't. No. So take everyone that was here last year or this year and last year. And then add an Oliver Wahlstrom to that mix, and you're going, all right, cool. Like, if he turns into a 25 goal scorer this year, that's a lot more goals than we had last year from guys like Derek Brassard.
Yeah, no, totally. 100%.
So, this is nuts. Big upgrades.
Yes. Anything else on the power play?
No, that's about it. Like, it's hard to pin down what they've done exactly, but like, it seems that break, brought to us by the Buffalo Sabres and the New Jersey Devils, really changed things for us. Like, midseason minicamp really helped us out.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get to down on the farm. What do we got this week, Mitch?
I got three little updates here. From William Dafoe, Alexander Ljungkrantz, and then Reese Newkirk. Okay. And then if you have any questions on anyone else, shoot from the hip.
Love it.
First one is William Dafoe, who is missing in action right now. They're in a bubble, as they're doing all season long, but he hasn't played the last couple of games. And so I've had a few people come to me and say, like, well, what's wrong with him? What's going on? And so I knew he was injured. I didn't know the severity of the injury. And so I asked the team, and they, thank God I'm French. Because, like, I feel like this helps a lot when you're speaking to French teams, because then they're able to just kind of, like, they're answering to me in French, and they're saying, like, don't worry about it. Y a rien de sérieux. It's not serious. We're just hoping that he rests up and is able to heal. Guérir un petit bobo. Or a bobo is like an owie. That's literally what we call it in French. Un bobo.
Like a boo-boo?
Yeah, like, so when my kids fall, like, t'as un bobo, t'as fait mal, that's what they're saying. So he's hurt, but, like, they're taking they're taking precautions, like, an abundance of precaution, like the NHL likes to say right now with COVID, an abundance of precaution with him, and just saying, like, we have a ton of games in this bubble, you'll get to play, just heal up, you're better if you're healthy than if you're at a 75%, clearly.
Yeah, that's, okay, good. I like that. I kind of like that they're being precautious with it, you know?
Yeah, so he'll play the next... they don't say he will play. They say he could play the next game, but we'll see. So he may miss a few games here, like a few more, but he's not out for long, and it's nothing serious that we have to worry about.
No, absolutely. Okay, good.
Next is Alexander Ljungkrantz. I wrote about him today on the site because I was able to get a hold of his World Junior Championship coach. Or what could be his World Junior Championship coach. So they had a mini camp in February. And the last I spoke to the coach was Alex was going to get a chance to play the top line. And I hadn't had a chance to find out how he did. And apparently he did very well.
Okay, that's good.
So he's not for sure in the mix, but he's in there. He could very well go all the way is what... the coach said to me, and by going all the way means being named to the team that goes to Edmonton Red Deer for the 2022 World Junior Championships.
That's pretty good.
The only thing is that, like, they got a lot of depth. So they got guys like William Eklund and who are the guys? The other guys I'm thinking of there. Hoglander. Not Hoglander. Anyways, doesn't matter. I'm going to screw up their names. Olsson. Guys that are going to get drafted in the top 10 this year probably and first round picks this year that are also kind of in the mix. So we'll see if he actually goes. If he does play, it's going to be in a bottom six forward role. But it seems that he could very well end up on Sweden's national team for the World Juniors.
Okay. Wow. That would be really good to see that. Like, that would be nice for him.
Right. Because, like, a lot of things we were getting when it came to the draft, and rightfully so, was like, who the hell is this Alexander Ljungkrantz kid, and why are they drafting him in the third round? And then when you like, dig in a little bit further, you go, like, oh, he wasn't supposed to go in the third round, if at all. Wow. Okay. My God. Why did we take this kid? Now you can see it. He's putting up points at the not at the SHL level, but Div 1 level, like a borderline dominant at the Div 1 level. And now he could be going at a premier tournament. That's good.
Yeah, no, totally. That's a good sign.
And it's a big squad, right? Like, we're not talking about like Latvia or something like that. No offense to Latvia, but like when it comes to this tournament, they don't rank high. But we're talking about Sweden, who whenever they enter the tournament have medal aspirations.
Yeah, no, they're a legitimate team. And even if he doesn't get a ton of playing time, just the experience of going there and being with the team is big.
It is, absolutely. And last one here is Reese Newkirk, who is playing, well, not really playing, but is in Saskatchewan the last I spoke to him. But I believe he's making the trek to Portland now because the WHL season, at least for American teams, is going to start as of March 19th. So I would imagine camps are opening soon for them. And they're going to be hitting the ice in 2 weeks' time, just about, right? So in two Fridays from now. Three
Interesting.
Fridays.
Okay,
so
go.
That's a guy that could very well be signed to an AHL contract next year because he had a big year for Portland last year. Mm-hmm. So and it's not like he's relying on another player to bump him up. So he's very much a driver for that team and putting up big numbers. I would expect to see him in the AHL next year.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's good.
So that's the last update that I had. Did you have anyone you wanted to bring up?
No, I was just curious the ones, Ljungkrantz really specifically, because like you said, we kind of haven't heard from him in a little bit, but glad that they're just kind of taking it slow with that one, and I get that. Ishkakov, anything with him?
Scoring. He's back. He missed a couple of games with a head injury. He got hit up high.
Okay.
First game back, 50 seconds into the game, boom, pots a goal.
Ooh, we love that. Good things. Perfect.
So things are going well for him in Finland right now. I would also, I'm not going to say expect to see him at the AHL level, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him signed to an ELC at the end of the season.
Okay. I like that. Shall we get to the quiz, Mitch?
Let's do it. So every week, there's a mystery New York Islander for Matt to guess. This is show 185 of the Eyes on Isles podcast. Matt, you have 5 clues to guess the mystery Islander. The clues get progressively easier as we go. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
1. I was drafted by Colorado 79th overall.
Johnny Boychuk.
Incorrect. 2. I was traded for current Devils GM Tom Fitzgerald, who was also a 17th overall pick by the Islanders in 1986.
Okay, next.
Okay, I was going to say the clue here with this one as well is that trade didn't happen to the Islanders either way.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't 3. Have got it, though.
Okay. My best year on the island and in my career saw me hit 60 points.
60 points?
You know he came from Colorado. He was traded at one point to a team who had Tom Fitzgerald.
Okay. Let's keep it rolling.
4. I questioned the quality, maybe not the quality. I questioned the trade that sent me to the Islanders. Like, he was going, really? That's what got me, really? That was the package that got me a return for me?
Mark Parrish.
There we go.
There Perfect. It is.
And then 5 is I was half of the return for Luongwen Jokinen. Just in case you didn't get that fourth one.
Yep. That fourth one's a good one. I remember that. That's a big quote that's been going around for a while.
Yeah, just like, really? Oh, boy, you lost that one hard, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was a tough one. Thanks, Milbury.
So the reason I brought him up is not because he only played 185 games or scored 185. It's his shooting percentage with the Isles is 18.5, 185.
Oh, creative. Okay, I like that.
There we go.
Hope Parrish is doing good, by the way.
I believe he is. They had that, okay. That little thing that happened, but it seems that he's on the mends there. So, you know, good job by him.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything since that story, so just thinking of him. Hope he's doing well.
Yes.
Let's get to the social segments, Mitch. What's going around on Isles Twitter?
So my first one here comes from Coach Jeff 24, and it's I tweeted something during the game against the Pittsburgh Penguins when it said it's a GIF, and it says, I know that this play is going to get Bailey a lot of heat because he has an open look on Tristan Jarry or Casey DeSmith. Open look. Peugeot plays it backhand to him, and he's alone in the slot. No one on him. But what I say is, but how about Peugeot outsmarting Crosby, Letang, and Malkin at the same damn time? Because Peugeot's playing the puck behind the net, and he's covered right. by all those three guys. Outplays him. And then Jeff says, Mitch, he might as well be wearing bright orange, he being Bailey. He's been a traffic cone out there this year. But then, like, seconds later, Bailey scored. So he's like, let's be honest, my timely Bailey bash at least deserves honorable mention in your social segment. And I did it. I did my part, Jeff.
Perfect. Love that. And hey, hand up, you got that one wrong, but I think you were happy to admit that you got that one wrong in the moment.
I think so, yes. So
absolutely. My first one comes from the Islanders account on Twitter, actually, and it says, from the island to Brazil, see how Danilo Santiago started the NYIBR fan club, which is New York Islanders Brazil fan club, and has bolstered it into the community it is today. Awesome. Well, one, their live tweets is just phenomenal stuff. I love it, and I love that there are Islanders fans in Brazil. Like, that to me is so cool. Like, I can't wrap my mind around, like, our little team. Like, it's crazy enough that you up in Ottawa, like, our little team that's 10-15 minutes from my house is loved in Brazil or up in Ottawa. Like, that doesn't compute to me. That's awesome.
And there's no, like, Denis Potvin, who grew up in the streets of Sao Paulo, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I love how they did a meme just the other I think it was yesterday because of the Mike Bossy retirement, or it's today, and it's a picture of Mike Bossy with the curly kind of fro thing, and then next to it is David Luiz, who's a defender for the Brazilian national team, and it looks the same. It's really the same.
That's amazing.
Very Sideshow Bob-esque vibe going on there from both players.
That's perfect. I love it.
My next one here is from Arthur Staple. I think we all know who he is. Who at 6:08 p.m. on March 2nd tweeted, with about 25 minutes until warmups in Newark, official roster stands at 22. No Wahlstrom. Could mean Clutterbuck is back. Could mean the site isn't updating. It wasn't, so anyways. But as of now, Wahlstrom not back from the taxi squad for tonight's game. And panic ensued.
Yeah, he dropped a bomb there, and It was a little bit panic mode.
It was. Like, the site hadn't updated. I assume he, like, because he's always tweeting this, like, a half an hour or so before the game, so I think he's going to check at a routine time. Mm-hmm. And so the site just didn't, like he said, update. But, like, Islanders fan blew a gasket. Like, I'm done with this team! What are they? It was full-on, like, a riots in Montreal level of panic. And if that ended up being true, I could get it, because you're going, why would you sit a guy in a four-game point streak? What are we doing here? But it turned out to not be the case, thankfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God, because that would have been really bad if he wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't think they would have won if he wasn't in the lineup, because that game was until he scored a minute and 10 into the third.
Yep. My last one comes from Stats Center. And it says, notching the second of his team's second goal in the third period of a 2-1 win over the Devils on Tuesday night, Islanders left wing and captain Anders Lee has moved alone into fourth on the list of timely scoring wingers through the franchise's nearly 50-year regular season history. So what it is game-winning goals for wingers. He is fourth all time, and he's in pretty good company, Mitch. Mike Bossy is one at 80. Clark Gillies is two at 41.
Just wait. That difference. 80 to 41. Wow.
Yeah. Bob Nystrom is third at 38. Lee is fourth at 31. And Derek King is five at 30. But that's good. That's really good company. And he could climb that list. Like, he's here for the next 5 years. Like, that number, he could end up second. Like, that's not a crazy thing to assume that Lee can have another 11 game-winning goals over the next 5 years.
Let's see. How many game-winning goals does he have? He's averaging, so he's got 6-5-2-6 over the last 4 years. He already has three this. So he gets about six. So let's assume he does four over the next 4 years after this one. That's still 12. And so 12 plus what is he at right now?
31. That would put him at 43. 12 would put him at 43. When, isn't that 4 times 4, 16?
4 times, yes. Sorry. Yes.
So 47.
Fail.
Sorry, I just, like, nope. I was like, where are we getting the 12 from? But, okay. Not a math podcast.
Not a math podcast. So that puts him at 47, you said?
Yeah, 47.
Which would be firmly in second place.
Yeah.
And that's assuming he doesn't get another one this year.
No, exactly. Correct. So, I mean, I think he has a good shot to be second all-time for wingers, which I think that kind of shows how, I don't know if minimize is the right word, but I don't think we appreciate just how good of an Islander Anders Lee is.
Oh, we definitely don't. Like, he gets appreciated, but I think once his career is over, a lot of people are going to go like, hot damn, he was, holy hell, as a sixth-round pick? Oh, my God, that's when their mind is going to explode. They realize he's a sixth-round pick.
Obviously, his legacy can change if something happens with a trophy involved, too.
Oh, God, yeah. If a trophy is earned, we might be talking about retiring, although the number's already retired, so never mind.
But there could be another name added to it, maybe.
Imagine that. Wow. That would be wild if another name gets added. I don't think that they'll get there, but, like, whew, that would be crazy.
Maybe you could make a case if they got that far. You could maybe make that case.
That's true, man. Wow. Okay. Well, that would be insane, man.
No, but, like, that's the thing. Like, that's why I think he's not appreciated enough. Like, he's appreciated, but it's not to the point where it probably should be.
No, that's true. Absolutely.
Anything else, Mitch?
My last one here comes from NHL and NBC Sports, who tweeted out on March 2nd, so just yesterday, the points leader from the 2015 NHL draft class, Connor McDavid, very good at hockey, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. So they ranked the top 10 point getters for that draft, and it goes McDavid 1 at 509, Eichel 2, 351, already huge discrepancy. And there was talk, remember, of like, are Edmonton going to take Eichel? Eichel could be the guy. Yet.
Nope.
Three, Mitchell Marner at 324. Four, Aho, 281. Rantanen, 268. Matthew Barzal, 225 at number six. He's the sixth highest scoring player of that draft class. He was drafted 10 spots later.
That's good value.
Right? So, like, guys drafted from 6 to 16, we got Zaka, Provorov, Rensky, Meyer, Rantanen, Kraus, Gurianov, Zbroil, this is Boston now, Zboril, DeBrusk, and Sinishin. Lulz.
Wait, hold on. I think I'm just putting that together. Was the top five, like, the actual top five of the draft also?
No,
that just
it wasn't.
So happened to be?
No, because okay. You got Noah Hanifin in there that isn't. But I'm just quoting, like, it. Let's say he was drafted six. He was drafted 10 spots later. Who are the 10 players within that in that spot? And, like, when you look at Boston taking Zboril, DeBrus, Sinishin, like, DeBrus, sure, 217 games played, but you have 25 games played combined between Zboril and Sinishin at the NHL level and 7 points.
Yeah, well, I mean, good value. Thank you. Thank God we have Matt Barzal.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyways, that was my last one.
Sweet. Okay, so let's get a couple plugs in here before we go. So wherever you're listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating and review. That really helps us out. We appreciate all the love and support. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY, and Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/eyesonisles. You could visit the website, eyesonisles.com. You could also download the Fansided app if you want to keep up through the app. What else do we have? Patreon. We could talk about Patreon.
We should.
Patreon.com/eyesonisles. So for $5 a month, you can get a post-game podcast for every single game, about 25, 30 minutes in length. We break down the entire game. You get a mailbag show. You get a live stream with Mitch. You get a whole lot of stuff over there, and it's a good community of Islanders fans, too.
It's a great time. Get in on this. 129 patrons. 129, man. I remember when we started that, like, a while ago, and we were like, how many were we going to actually get? 129? Woo! Incredible.
Absolutely. Hopefully those numbers keep going up, too. That'd be great. Appreciate all the love and support, really. It's a lot of fun over there.
It is.
So that's going to do it for us on this episode, number 185. But for now, I am Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.